Welcome to Black People Love Paramore, a podcast where I explore the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help us feel seen. Please feel free to rate us and write us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. 5 stars only, because we are 5-star bitches. We're Dio Gotti. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like, comment, subscribe, and all of the things. I'm your host, Sequoia, and today joining me to chat about, I don't even know what to call what we're chatting about, kink, sex in general?
Yeah. The above.
Okay, we have writer, actor, above. Comedian, thought dad, co-host of the Maximum Film Podcast, and host of Actually on Dropout, Ify Wadiway.
Ify, hello.
Thank you so much for joining. I'm very excited to have you. I've like wanted to have you on this podcast for a long time, so I'm happy that we are finally here.
Yeah, you know, we did it. You know, we've known each other a long time. Mm-hmm. So now we've connected via the pod world.
We're actually on the same network, y'all. Like, me and Ify worked together at BuzzFeed, and then now we're both on the same podcast network. And
it just, yeah,
and he's also always fighting for democracy with my boyfriend in the room.
Yeah,
playing Helldiver. So
yeah, always. There's
that. Just so connected all the time.
But we did it, and now we're back.
And I'm very excited. Okay, we're talking about kink.
Yes.
The dictionary definition of kink is a sharp twist or curve in something that is otherwise straight. Mm-hmm. I feel like that also works for the sexual definition, but the sexual definition that I have here is from New York City-based psychotherapist and sex therapist and BDSM expert. This is a difficult name, y'all. Please work with me. Or at least I have difficulty pronouncing it, should I say. Not that her name is difficult. Dulcinea Pitagora. Okay. And she says, kink can be generally defined as any eroticized interaction that falls outside of the statistical norm of heteronormative sex. That all sounds like the same thing to me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's so funny because it kind of is when you think about it. Like, it all rotates around that same, you know, world where it's like, okay, is it one thing? Is it that? Is it like feet? Is it BDSM? Mm-hmm. And I do think, yeah, it is like an element of, for me, I always just kind of shorthand use kink for me for like BDSM, sex parties, things like that.
Okay. Okay. So you have some experience with the
world. Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, I want to hear about the experience. What should we doing, Ify?
No,
I don't know this side of you. I only know you. You know, a nice gym man. I seen you in the gym one time. You know, I'm Ify be a nice man. Now you be online on some shit. I don't know what's going on. Tell me what you be doing.
You know, it is just like another like form of exploration and freedom and, you know, kind of going against these social norms. And I think at its core and what it truly is just another way to have fun with sex. I think that's what it all really comes down to. It's less like about, you know, anything other than, just like having fun, stepping out and just really exploring that space and yourself and seeing where it takes you.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are probably more limited in the sexual realm than they realize because of the hesitation around stepping out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, something. So I have another podcast that me and Emily, my partner, have called Our Relationship Pod. And it really does come from one of the kind of my main talking points comes from in the ERG conversations that we would have at BuzzFeed, where we would talk about the emotional cheating. I don't know if you remember that day. I don't know if you remember that thread.
Wait, I kind of do.
Yeah. Yes. We were all talking about emotional cheating in there. And it was all about, like, the big thing was like, and you remember some people were like, look, as long as you're not having sex, that's not emotional cheating, you know, as long as it's just, and everyone was like, what do you mean? And like, no one was wrong in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Really, it was just the boundaries that I think people have. But the problem is no one ever has those conversations. I think everyone tries to rinse, repeat, and have like pretty much explore the way that we assume everyone does, because we're like, oh, hey, this is what monogamy is, and this is what sex and monogamy is. And sometimes we'll do anal for your birthday, you know, and that's what's so funny about it is I feel like no one explores outside of that. Either you have people who are having sex to procreate, or you're having people who are just going buck wild.
Right. No, that's super fair. That's a really good point. A lot of confusion can be mitigated with a simple conversation, kind of outlining expectations. And that can be in a sexual sense or in a non-sexual sense, with the emotional cheating conversation. That was a very interesting conversation too. I feel like I learned a lot about my coworkers that day. That was at BuzzFeed, y'all. And I was like, okay, this is a very interesting conversation, but neither here nor there. Okay, I have a question for you. A fetish versus a kink. Do you think there's a difference?
Yeah, I actually had a conversation on a show with a sex therapist, and there is a difference between a fetish and a kink, where a fetish, I think, is specifically sexualizing the item, and kink is more so just like usually used about the lifestyle itself.
Okay. Okay.
And so like feet guys, that's a foot fetish, or like people who like cake sitting and stuff, like that's more of a fetish. And kink is specifically like either like the community aspect of it. I'm like paraphrasing, but that is generally how it was described to me.
That definitely makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. The definition that I pulled online is similar. It says, while kink increases the partner's pleasure, fetishism replaces the partner with an object or objectifies the partner. And as someone who, I guess, had never really thought too deeply about the difference between a fetish and a kink and kind of used them interchangeably, that really put it into perspective. I want to make sure that I'm, you know, saying what I mean and meaning what I say. So just trying to be mindful of that. That means a lot. Now, some of us have war stories and some of us have horror stories.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a horror story, some ho shit that you were on that you would like to talk about?
I mean, tons of it. You know, I definitely. Oh yeah, I often talk about my like European slut tour. I was like going through a breakup, and it was like this trip that I was like going on. You know, it was originally going to be a trip with me and my ex partner, and then we broke up, so that just didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so it evolved into a trip where now I just kind of was just like, I think I went to London first and it was kind of whatever. And then like I went to Italy, met someone there, and then like we like made out and it was like cool. Then I bumped into like a friend in Germany and got romantic. And yeah, it was just like a whole like bouncing around Europe and being like single and free. And so that was definitely my like first element of it. And then I think the next stage of it, more into, I think I got really open and more into myself recently, but like, because I am polyamorous and currently in an ethically non-monogamous relationship. But before that, I was trying to do my best like solo polyamorous experience, which, you know, means like, you know, I'm just meeting a bunch of different people and dating a bunch of folks. And like, that was very interesting. But it really wasn't until like, you know, not to put her on blast, even though she wouldn't feel like it's putting her on blast. My partner, I think, is more well-versed in the kink space. And she was the one who's like, okay, this is how it goes down. Because I've always been interested, but the number one thing to know about like kink and sex parties is you, as of like man, you just can't show up by yourself. Like if you are a woman, you can show up by yourself. But like as a man, you know, and it, for good reason, you know, we've done enough. You can't trust a single man in these spaces.
Fair.
It was something that I never even questioned. I feel like some people would be mad about it. Like I remember I had a friend who was like salty because he was trying to like go to like he went to a kink meetup and it was like a black queer kink meetup. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he was probably would be more hetero flexible, but honestly, I get a lot of bi energy, which is why I think he went under the radar first. And then I think he was told like, hey, this you're not like queer enough, and he was like so tight about it. And I was like, well, you know, they're creating a space for themselves, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
like but he was like there's more white people there and it's supposed to be BIPOC, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I feel you on that front, but like, you know, I feel like they just carving a space out. And I feel like, so for me to try and explore it, I just kind of always needed a partner who was either into that or who was going to take that journey with me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, M was like, oh, I'm deep in it. I'm like, in this life, this is how it works. These are the rules. This is what you need to know. This is how you need to dress. These are the good ones. These are the bad ones. And I was just like, it truly was like being Neo in the Matrix when he sat in the karate chair and you like, oh, I learned everything.
Yeah.
And then like, I feel like now I'm just, you know, living it. It went from like being like curious. Yeah. And I feel like at first you kind of like, I think anything, we've talked about this before, me and him, but like just I talk about this with friends a lot, like learning things as an adult, trying new things as an adult is so vulnerable, because as a kid you don't have ego, you're just like, I'm gonna just try stuff. Yeah. And if it's for me, it's not. If it isn't, it isn't. But I feel like as an adult, you're like, what if I'm bad at this? What if I look silly? What if I'm doing it wrong? What if everyone doesn't, you know, you're not only trying something new, but you're also entering a like community. And I remember, you know, cause I've done impact play, which for the ones not to know, that's just like spanking and flogging, anything where you're like, you know, hitting or spanking your partner. That's just impact play. Like that's the umbrella term. And I've obviously done it in the bedroom. I'm sure most people do it in the bedroom. I think what's funny about us talking about this is how mainstream kink is becoming, because I've been reading kink books, and I'm reading a book by a dominatrix. It's like a collection of her essays, but it was written like in the early aughts. Mm-hmm. And the way that she talks about kink in the book, it's very interesting to see how far we've come, because, you know, she's very much like, oh, you know, this is so salacious and you're going to be like, kind of like, feel like you're alone in this. And I was like, oh no, I feel like, you know, Drake's calling people good girls in his songs. You got, you know, Whips and Chains, Excite Me by Rihanna. Yeah. Like, I think kink is very much on the forefront. And it's not, I think we as a generation have been open and welcome to sexual exploration. I mean, you know, the blogs are always going to talk about how crazy, you know, every time there's a podcast with some dudes on a couch, anytime, you know, you see some dudes on a couch with a mic on Twitter or TikTok, you know, it's about to be some foolishness. Always some like, oh, you gonna let somebody put a finger in your butt? Does that make you gay? And it's like, I don't know, man. I feel like everyone is finding all the ways to that all the things that make you gay except sleeping with the same sex.
Like, very much that.
And it is interesting to see like but even that being a conversation and not being shunned. And I think one video I saw, it was one guy being like, yeah, I like it. And what?
Period.
And that's the kryptonite for a lot of those dudes on couches, a man confident in his choices who can't be swayed by their, like, you know, homophobia.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do. Cause then then you have to explain yourself. Well, why is it weird? Why do you think that?
Right.
It's beautiful. I think as a freak, it's beautiful to see people coming into it. But I think, you know, big picture, I think as a Western society can be hyper puritanical because we are as much as we look at like other countries that are like more, you know, ruled by religion, we tend to think that we're not, but we are very much, it's just more covert. And I think it is more ingrained, and that is not necessarily a pro or con, but I think it is, there's influences, and I think it is the way we look at sex. I do think the thing that, you know, people, Europeans always laugh at us for, which is the fact that you can see someone's like brains get blown out on TV or hyper violence, and that's totally fine and we're not moved by it. But, you know, if we're still having a conversation about whether or not mothers should breastfeed in the public.
Ooh,
and it's like, that is a baby being fed and you're sexualizing it.
Yes.
And she can't feed her baby because of you.
Yes. Wow. That's nuts. Okay. You bring up a really good point. First of all, you're so insightful about this, AP. I actually have never spoken to you about this. So when you brought it up, I wasn't sure like where the conversation was going to go, but you're so fucking insightful. This is incredible. This is great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. There is a lot of discourse lately, I feel like, online with Gen Z mostly about sex scenes in movies or just like on screen sex scenes in general. And it seems to be a lot of pushback that I guess I wasn't expecting. Do you have thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like it's just the pendulum swinging the other way. I think that, you know, across generations, there is a like hypersexualization. I mean, if we think about those old like Carl's Jr. commercials and all of that. So our like general comfort with sex and how we talk about sex. And I think that it has caused this next generation to think that not talking about sex makes you somehow smarter or more intelligent and that it's unnecessary and need. And our podcast, me and M's podcast, is us reading people asking for relationship advice on Reddit. And like 9 out of 10 relationship questions are rooted in the inability to talk freely about like what your sexual desires are. And it's because more like our generation, which is, you know, supposedly more sexually, outgoing and talking, still can't talk about our desires because it's always rooted in shame. And, you know, I've had partners where I've talked to them and, you know, they talk about one of their earliest like sexual, you know, memories and how like, you know, they might have learned to masturbate too early and they were doing it in class. And then their parents and the principal was like, what are you doing? This is wrong. This is good. And, you know, it was something offhandedly kind of like mentioned. And then you kind of see how it kind of shows itself in how they view sex in general, because there's that shame attached to it because one of your first experiences was met with shame. And I feel like the reason I've just tend to intellectualize sex and just be so interested in it is because my stepmom used to, she was like, I don't know the exact job title, but she worked with the projects in Compton while we lived out there, like Nickerson Gardens. And so she was the one out there kind of like being that next level of sex ed because we don't have that in America. And she was the one being like, instead of trying to preach abstinence, which doesn't work and causes people to be more curious, being the one like, hey, this, you need to use condoms and sexual health. And so she was always very open about having conversations about sex because her whole philosophy was like, I'd rather you know what you're doing and do it safely than be bringing babies home mm-hmm. or you catching something. So we're going to have these conversations and we're not going to be afraid about talking about it. And so, you know, I think at first it manifested in me being just a little too excited and being, you know, weird, I feel like, in high school, but it also just made me approach it, you know, very openly from the jump. Like, I remember very early on, there was like a 2020 episode that was talking about like ethical porn and like talking about like the differences in like the porn industry and ethical porn. And from that, I was just interested. And I think it's just the way my nerd brain works mm-hmm. where I'm like, oh, I want to know how it's made. I want to mm-hmm. know how it's done. So when I was watching porn, I was already like, oh, what is this really? Like, what's going on behind the scenes? And I think having that approach to it and like attaching, you know, the inner workings of it changed my whole perspective on the idea of sex and being focused on, you know, femme pleasure and being focused on like everyone having a good time. Because mm-hmm. I think that the way that most people not only have sex, but like approach romantic relationships is just like replaying the blueprint that they had in their head. Definitely. That works best.
Definitely.
I think it happens with the way that men and women date. It happens in the way that we, you know, court each other. We mm-hmm. have, I mean, how many times, you know, have you been in relationships where someone seems confused that their communication style isn't working mm-hmm. and they're like, and they make it seem like it's because you're crazy and not because they're just reiterating a communication style that worked with a different partner.
Yeah.
And how many times have you kind of had to lay there while someone's running the playbook for somebody else's body on you? And you're like, okay, some of these are working and some mm-hmm. of these aren't. And mm-hmm. instead of like talking to you and getting like in finding out what you like, they're just like, oh no, this works. And this is why I'm good at it. You know, it's
yeah.
very,
yeah.
It's just, I think it all comes down to like, we're talking about sex, we're talking about relationships, but it all comes down to people and in general. Mm-hmm. I think that it's very easy to try and like generalize and use what we think can work for everyone than to do the work in realizing that every person is different, which is why like, it's very easy to be like, oh, this person does this and I don't mess with people who do that because that's that, or leaning on astrology, I don't mess with Pisces because I did the Pisces, because that's easy. It's easy to be like, I'm not going to have my heart broken if I avoid Pisces, instead of being like, going to have to step to this person as a blank slate, take them as they come, see what works, see what doesn't, because that's scary. And also yeah. I feel like we feel like it might be a waste of time, and it is. In the pursuit of love, you're gonna have to waste a lot of time if you want to do it right.
Yeah. You know? No word. Okay. Are you a Pisces? That's what I want to know.
I am a Pisces. Yes, indeed. Yes,
he is a Pisces.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break.
This is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
We're going to play erotic or not.
Okay.
I'm going to list some circumstances, some scenarios, and okay. you tell me if they are erotic or not to you. Okay.
Okay.
Chopping trees on TikTok.
You know, I get it. They're not for me, but I get it. Like, I think that, you know, I think a lot to the meme where it's like, we used to fight wars, you know, like, yeah. I feel like
that is it. That
seeing is it. Men be masculine in a like performative physical way is a niche that I think a lot of people need. They like to see. And I think people are afraid to say, like it's so funny to watch people be like, I don't know why these women going crazy over the wood chopping, dude, because that man is doing labor outside. Also just washboard abs.
Yeah.
And talking through. I think the thing that makes those TikToks hit more than the chopping wood, more than the washboard abs.
Yeah.
Is watching a man communicate and Ooh. Clearly Ooh. And directly. And set a plan and yep. follow through with it.
Period. Okay. Hold on. You're really onto something. And when you said, performing masculinity, that really dings something in my head, because I feel like we often watch women perform femininity in the way that is that men like.
Yeah.
Even though there's no real way to perform femininity or perform masculinity, but we see that women do it in the way that men like. And I don't think we as often, at least not from my perspective, do we see men do it in the way that women like?
No, because we're losing the recipes.
We're losing recipes.
Because we're not listening to the right people. I think every discussion on masculinity and what it should look like and what it should be are coming from men. And why are we listening to them?
That part.
I'm not trying to date Andrew Tate. So why do I care what he thinks
that
men
part.
Should do?
Right.
You know?
Yes.
And we are so kind of wrapped up in the idea of trying to be like those men who are oftentimes performing and presenting a life they don't actually live.
We know that.
And then trying to walk in their footsteps instead of just listening to women on TikTok. Women on TikTok are telling you exactly the masculine acts they want to see performed. And you'd rather listen to some bald dude who has straight up like crimes,
literal,
a laundry list of crimes.
Literal crimes.
Than to like listen to the very women that you're trying to like date. And
very
I've known
that.
That's true. Ever since I'll never forget I had a tweet where I was like, guys will get so far when they realize that all you need to do is to talk to women like human beings and you'll get so far. And I had all of my homegirls who like do Twitch streams and e-girls and OnlyFans, like just hot women just in my replies agreeing, and like men being like, that ain't true. It's like, but
I saw that.
Right,
I think
here.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're right here. They're saying it's true, and you're telling me I'm lying because you're weird. Like that's the thing, you know?
I think
it goes back to the you know, ashy, fucked up hairline guys who are like, Black women didn't like me because I was nerdy. It was like, no, they didn't like you because you was like watching hentai in class in eyeshot.
That.
And then was like shouting, you know, Japanese phrases at them and was running at them with your hands behind your back.
Right.
And even then, you probably had somebody who was trying to do that with you and you was ignoring them.
I swear to God. I you know, I was thinking about this the other day. This is kind of a tangent, but I was thinking about this the other day. I personally feel like you could put like one black man in a room full of black women and somebody's going to like him for sure. And that's not always necessarily true in the reverse. If you put one black woman in a room full of black men, I don't necessarily feel like that's always true.
Yeah.
I could be wrong on that. That was an inclination that I had in my head, but also it takes me back to the black girls didn't like me. I'm like, that can't, it literally cannot be true. I do not believe you.
You know, I think that it really is just a lot of people holding on to that one good roast that clipped them and just like, and they attributed to all like straight up turning them into the Avatar, and every black woman is that.
A fact. You know. That's a fact. Okay, I have another prompt for you. This mm-hmm. one might resonate with you a little bit more because I've seen you do it. Crush fruit with your bare hands or thighs or other body parts on TikTok.
Yeah, I've done that. I've crushed watermelon with my thighs. I did the hand thing. And yeah, once again, performing masculinity mm-hmm. in a performative way. And, you know. Yeah, like I'm listening. I'm listening to what the TikTok girlies are saying they want.
If you're taking notes.
Strong man, busting fruit, chopping wood.
And you said I can give them that. It. You said I got you on that. Yeah.
I'll never forget when the there was that meme that was going or like meme. There was like men who were hopping on Instagram and doing videos where they were saying, oh, I remember y'all was in the Hoochie Daddy shorts. What was up with that? It's like, yeah, because women were asking for that.
What are you confused about? Right. What? Like
if you got quads, you know just say that.
If you don't have quads, just say that. If you can't
bust out squats, just say that.
If you don't like your quads, just say that.
Don't make it seem like that's something that we did of our own volition and it wasn't requested.
You know what I mean? Don't come for me and my 6-inch inseam.
Yeah, we didn't call them Hoochie Daddy shorts.
You
that's
did.
What, that's right, what we, women
that
called.
That was us. That was us.
And
yes.
We said, we hear you. Yes,
and
chef.
We can hooch it up. Yes, chef. We can hooch it up. Another prompt. Is it erotic or not? WWE.
Definitely.
Erotic.
Definitely. And we're seeing it. I don't know if you've been seeing all the Rhea Ripley clips. Rhea Ripley is the tall, thick, goth female wrestler who's just been doing like all these pins, and all these wrestling dudes have been like thirsting over her and putting all the angles and posting it online and like, oh yeah. But I was like, okay, if you're doing that, you can't be mad at all the women who's like, yo, some of these wrestling dudes, they're erotic. And you're like, no, it's tough. It's like, nah, because she's doing the exact same thing, but it's just two women.
Word.
But it's normally two fellas.
Word. When I was young, when I was like a child, you know, entering puberty, and wrestling would come on, WWE would come on, I really felt like I was watching porn. I was like, wow, this is so sexual. This is nuts.
Oh, yeah. The oiled up, buff, shiny men tossing each other around.
Yeah.
Come on, now we know why there was running to the bathhouses.
You know what I mean? Like a butt would hit their face or something. Yeah.
The Rikishi butt move. Because that's the one thing Rhea Ripley did that everyone was going crazy. She did that on Rikishi's, like, I think it's niece or daughter. It just as a mocking thing, but everyone was like, yo, this is so hot. I'm like, then what was it when Rikishi was putting that thing on the wrestler's face?
Also spicy. It was also spicy.
Yes.
Okay. Playing Twister.
Oh, yeah. That's the classic.
Erotic. Erotic.
That was the classic. Like, you knew it was always a party where the parents weren't supervising and all the teens were getting together.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, we're going to play Twister. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to play some Twister.
Yeah. I like to do that. Sign me up. Right.
Yeah.
Morning voice.
Morning voice. Yeah. Morning voice. Yeah. And I feel like with the right person, morning breath, you know, he's like that. That's that
if
real
he,
love.
I'm about to hang up on you. You actually look, just look, upset that's, me.
That's what, that real love. You when just, they turn over, when they turn over to you and you like, I'm not going to turn away. I'm going to take this to the chest because I need this kiss. That's romance.
If you're here talking about morning breath. Ew. And I.
So are y'all telling me that y'all sit up there and y'all go brush y'all teeth before giving each other little morning kisses?
Iffy,
Garrick running late. He got to go. He got to go to hit the plane so he can go to his show. You're not going to give him his morning kiss?
No, but I'm not. I am, but I'm not going to breathe on him. I'm not going to breathe on him. It's going to be a closed mouth.
Closed mouth.
You know what I mean?
It's still there. It's still a risk.
I'm not about to take my whole tongue out. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's still a risk.
You just upset me. We're moving on. We're going to move on. Riding a horse.
Oh, definitely. Okay. Definitely.
Okay. Tying someone's tie.
Ooh. I feel like yes. But it's like a different kind of erotic. It's like that when someone is tying your tie, because there's that closeness and there's that like second where you're kind of being choked by them, you know?
It is a little choke moment.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's the main reason why if someone's tying your tie for you, they're like, take it off. I'm gonna tie this for you.
Absolutely.
I'm not trying to be inches from your face.
Absolutely.
Like anytime I'm getting lobbed for you know, work, it's funny because when there is a male sound guy and he's lobbing me up, it's the same thing like the barber edging you up. They don't want to look you in the eye, but I'll be like, yeah.
Yes, I'm done.
Make this eye contact.
Direct eye contact with
the
man.
Let's go. Don't be afraid. We ain't here.
For those of you who don't know, lobbing up is like putting a mic on you when you're like on set for something. They'll run a mic up your shirt.
Mm-hmm. So they already got the back of their hand up on your chest.
Yeah, if you be looking them in the eye.
Looking right in the eye. You better believe it.
He said he looking the barber in the eye too when he getting edged.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, erotic or not, ASMR.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Most definitely erotic.
Most definitely. ASMR is so erotic. Mm-hmm. I feel it's so funny when people were like, "Oh, I listen before I go to sleep." I'm like, "Really?" Cause I'll be up, you know.
It's time to go. It's time to get it going. If okay. Yeah. I'm not an ASMR person, so I never really understand it. But it's neither here nor there. I don't know. Erotic or not, driving a stick shift.
No. I think I'm too into my, you know, me and Garrick has that LA indoctrination of that street racing. So when we hitting the stick, we thinking about Fast and Furious. We ain't thinking about Even like my one of my early girlfriends had a stick shift, and she was nice with. She's the one who taught me how to drive stick.
And nice.
Even in that situation, none of it was romantic. It was just straight up like we drive.
No eroticism in there. It was we get into where we're going, and that's about it. I have another game for us.
Okay.
I have a list of celebrity sexual moments. And I'm gonna say them out loud to you, and I want you to rate them on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being just so fucking tame, and 10 being like kink supreme. Okay? You ready?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Lakeith Stanfield moaning in clubhouse moan rooms. Do you remember that?
I do. That is such a... That is such a time capsule of how alone and horny we were during the pandemic.
For real.
We were in Clubhouse moaning, taking turns moaning,
nightly,
taking turns. And people's down horrendous. Yeah, that's a 10. Like you in there performative moaning, like you, because like either it's performative. Or you a freaky frog in there doing what needs to be done to hit the octaves to win the moan battle.
Freaky frog really takes me out.
I say this as someone who is like probably one of the freakiest
frogs
people that most
of
my friends know. And even I, when I went into the moan room, I was like, "This is a little too much. I got to get out of here. This is a little too much.
I can't. I can't.
We all in here."
I'm shocked that you said 10 for that one. Okay, so now I'm very interested to see what you say for the rest of these. Doja Cat showing feet in racist chat rooms.
Man, I'm gonna give that a 3 because that's musty behavior. That was musty behavior. I want her redemption. It is funny because she was complaining about people talking about her hair, and she was like, I got 4C hair. And I was like, you know who you wouldn't have had to explain 4C hair to? You know the fan base you could have cultivated to make sure that you would have never had to explain hair types to, but you didn't.
But you didn't
want that.
But you didn't. But you didn't.
But
you
know, she got a couple of black women fighting for their lives, doing everything they can, taking the abuse to be her fan.
No, it's fair. And perhaps I'm one of them. I don't know. Moving forward. Richard Lawson's Twitter likes being only porn. Do you remember this? This was like maybe 6 months ago. Richard Lawson is Tina Lawson's ex-husband, Beyonce's mom's ex-husband. And they are now divorced. They got divorced sometime last year in 2023. And people went to his Twitter and saw all of his likes were just porn.
Look, I'm going to tell you this. I've been there. Probably nightly. Because, you know, there'd be a time where I'm just like scrolling. Because the For You page make it mad easy now. Because, you know, you go to the For You page and it's like all like, you know, thick goth ladies, the witchy black women who do spells, but they're thicked up.
Mine's
you know,
not like all, that. My 40 you know, page
flexible
doesn't have
red,
that.
Redheads. Well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. That's what mine look like. Okay. And so you get through liking a few of them and you like, oh no, if someone looks at my Twitter likes right now, it's going to be in shambles.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember when Twitter would like put your likes on the timeline? It would be like, likes.
It has altered my brain chemistry in the sense that I don't even reply to all the stuff I normally would because I was like, do I want this popping up for everybody? Because yeah. I don't know if it's going. I think it has changed, but I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm not positive. I also am kind of iffy on what I interact with on Twitter now because I'm like, I don't know if this is going to pop up for everybody. I don't want to chance it. Okay.
Yeah.
Gerard Carmichael sucking white toes on camera. Scale of 1 to 10.
I'm going to say that's going to be a 6.
Okay.
Because the 10 is trying to ask Tyler, the Creator, out again on camera, thinking that might get you a new answer. Like, that is down horrendous. Also, Tyler, the Creator, saying that he called him a stupid bitch.
Laughed and called him a stupid bitch. Repeated it again for a second.
Yeah, I stood on business on that one and said, yeah. Yeah, I did say that. Hilarious. 10 out of 10 TV.
Proceeded to fart in the other room, order tacos, eat them, didn't give the man an answer. It's giving humiliation kink. My producer said that, Palmyra said that before we started recording. It said it's giving humiliation kink, and absolutely. Yes.
Well, it's, you know, it is so funny because I feel like there used to be that running joke. I feel like no one said this in a minute, but it's always like, oh man, I should have I should date dudes. And it's like, nah, bro, it seems like it's gonna be just as hard. It's gonna be just as hard. You're gonna get lit up even worse potentially.
Definitely. No, I personally feel that dating men is the problem. So no matter the gender of the person dating men, I think you're gonna experience some fuckery at one stop or another. It's gonna be some fuckery if you're dating men overall.
Yeah.
The solution 100%. Is to date women. That's the solution, is to date women and other gender non-binary folks that are not men.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then lastly, our last circumstance, our last scenario, we have Oliver drinking Felix's cum-infested bathwater in the movie Saltburn.
That's a 25.
That was 873.
Yeah, that was, he was down horrendous. I was like, dang, yeah.
I have never cringed at a part of a movie that hard in my life. When I realized he was getting close to the water with the intention of consuming it, I actually wanted to drop dead, I think.
Well, I think what's worse is how it like was the last of it. You know what I mean? Like the fact that it was almost gone. And so he was getting like the leftovers.
He was getting the bodily dirt as well as the leftover remnants of cum.
See, that's the thing.
Yeah,
I always think about that film I used to see when I would be doing the showers, doing baths as a kid, and you would just look at it. And I remember as a kid being like, oh, that's proof that I'm clean.
Oh,
and then now God. As an adult, I'm like, I was in that though.
Just sitting in it, stewing in it, you know? Wow. Yeah. So I'm not the only one that like only took baths as a kid. I'd be wondering like,
did people take
showers as a child, or was that just, I don't know.
Yeah, no, my mom was like, you know, from Louisiana and was like, you gonna take that bath?
Right, you gonna get in the bath, go run your bath water. My parents as well, same thing. Okay, and then finally, for our last little game, I have a list of celebrities and also have a list of kinks if you need them for reference, but I feel like you might not need them for reference. You probably know more kinks than I have listed here. I'm gonna name a celebrity and you tell me what kink you could imagine them having. Like if you found out like so-and-so has this kink, you'd be like, oh yeah. Okay. So name the kink. I named the celebrity, you name the kink.
Okay.
Miley Cyrus.
Oh man. I feel like it is definitely there are I'm trying to phrase this in a way that isn't going to come back to bite me when I'm hosting SNL while she's performing.
There we go. Come on, period.
But definitely there are people, certain white women who will do post content of them going to sex parties, and it is only black men at that sex party. And I feel like that would be her jam.
Okay. I see the way that she
had fun playing in blackness and then like, you know, dipped out real quick.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think the same thing, you know, you play in blackness and then dip back out to your day job and pretend like you weren't at that party.
I'm learning so much right now. This is wild. Okay. Jeremy Allen White.
Oh man. I feel like definitely like a unicorn, a hetero flexible third, pretty boy who's looking to be a third for any and all couples.
I definitely could see that. Michael B. Jordan.
Oh man, I think the flip of that, a bull or someone that, yeah.
Okay.
But I feel like, you know, actually I look at him as like probably a pleasure dom too. He seems like someone who's caring, who like wants to like, you know, make sure that, you know, his partner is getting pleasure out of it and will hold them down.
Okay. 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 That sounds nice. That actually sounds nice.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen.
Oh man, that he feels like he has fun with a degradation kink.
Oh, I definitely see that. Wow. Absolutely agree there. Jennifer Lopez.
I pillow princess fantasy, you know, the fantasy where like it's a group of men who serve her. Definitely.
A dream. Sounds great. Absolutely. Meek Mill.
Oh man. I feel like definitely sub-tenant switch. I feel like he can be a dom or a sub.
Okay.
And he's willing to play both parts.
He's willing to switch it up. I feel like if any of y'all are listening to this podcast, Mr. Meek Mill or a Seth Rogen, because it's super likely that you're listening, maybe you should try out what Iffy's saying. Maybe you should give it a go. If you have not, maybe you should give it a go.
I feel like no one would be mad with my pick so far except for Miley Cyrus. And for that, I do apologize.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, she might not be mad, TBH. She really might not be mad. That might be what she's into. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
Okay, I'm going to tell y'all. Well, I just want to get your thoughts here, Iffy. Okay. My friends, back to my horror stories. Instead of my war stories, my horror stories. My friends, I've mentioned this on the podcast before, swear that it is so strange that the first time I had sex, the first position that we used was doggy style. They're like, that's nuts. I'm like, is it? It never occurred to me that was unusual.
I don't think that's unusual because I feel like it was doggy style probably had the most press in our generation. Like we it were did. Hearing about doggy style all the time.
We did.
So like having your first, you're virginally lost and your first position be doggy, I feel like that makes sense. And also it seems like the most easy. I feel like it's almost in a way less awkward because you're not facing each other. Because I feel like the awkwardness in losing your virginity is being face to face with someone.
I mean, like
ideally
fair.
It is romantic, but I mean, I feel like if it's both people's first time, yeah. you're kind of like, hey.
If you're 16, 17, it might here not it be is. That romantic. Yeah, it might just be kind of yeah. awkward. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what my first position would do. I definitely think it was missionary, which is boring. I yeah. did eventually make it to the doggy style.
Yeah, of course. Probably shortly started. After, probably on the second
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
Or within that first time, you never really know.
Yeah. Mm. That is funny that is like wild. Cause to me, it's like, yeah, I think physically it seems like it makes sense.
Yeah. And they're like, it must have hurt. I'm like, I actually don't remember it hurting, but okay.
I mean, I think the thing that hurts about it, which is like the hymen breaking, is going to hurt in any position.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, I feel like it depends because I know that, that all bodies are different. You know, this is a news flash for some men who may not know this, but all bodies are different. And if you have a curve, all the positions aren't going to work all the time.
That's a fact.
You know, currently reverse cowgirl is out of the rotation.
Wow.
Because, yeah. But it is interesting because I have had, and I never thought about it being, once again, sex ed, bad. Never thought real about bad. Being like, oh, it's because everyone's bodies are built differently.
Yeah.
And so like sometimes, you know, you like there's been partners that I just never did doggy with because it just didn't work. And I sometimes it is just because they're either too small or I'm too big, like height wise. Mm-hmm. But it is, yeah, it is very interesting. All these like elements that come into play. But if you're only information as to how sex work is porn and you're just trying to do those moves and you're like, well, I don't know why it's not working.
Word. Yeah. That's unfortunate.
So also, as I say all that to say, if your friends who are like, didn't it hurt? Maybe they should, you know, try with someone else and it might not hurt.
Yeah, because I was fine personally. And we will wrap up here if you have one final question for you. How okay. did you get the name Thought Dad? What?
Oh, yeah. That was a friend, Madison Shepherd, a fellow comedian. I was doing a joke on stage where I was talking about I didn't know what type of dad I would be. Like I always, because I feel like there's different like dad personas that people had. And when I had Naomi, I didn't know what type of dad I would be. And I was very, I finally decided I want to be a hot dad. Mm-hmm. Like that's what it'd be. And when I got off stage, Madison was like, you're not a hot dad, you're a thought dad. And I was like, oh man.
Oh, wow.
Is great.
That is great.
Yeah.
That's very fun. Yeah. Shout out Madison. That's yeah.
yeah.
You might have to put her on payroll. You. Yeah. Cause that's nice.
Yeah, we'll see if the show sells. You know, you'll definitely I'll make sure you're on staff. I ain't gonna give you any money.
Make sure I'm on staff. Let me
not
sure
be on
I
record where
money.
I'm sitting in court with this podcast right. being played for me, like Young Thug listening to his rap song.
Literally, right? Me mouthing the words to you speaking mm-hmm. on this podcast. Yes, very much. mm-hmm. Is there anything else you want to talk about sex and kink before we hit him with the outro?
I think all I will say is like you should be having fun when you have sex. Sex shouldn't feel like a task. It shouldn't feel like an obligation. It should feel like a chance for you and your partner to have fun in the bedroom. So speak up about what you want and talk about it often. Even if something as low as like, you know, oh man, that was great. You know, that was something that you know, I notice when I started doing it, it really does like it's like a little moment of connection, a little flashback to that moment where you're like, oh, yeah, we had fun.
Mm-hmm. OK, that's really good advice. I hope y'all are listening. And that's it for our show today. Please let the folks know where they can find you and any projects you want to plug if you.
Yeah, Iffy Wadiway on Twitter and Instagram. Obviously, right here on the Max Fun Network, you can listen to Maximum Film. You can also listen to Our Relationship Podcast if you want to hear me and M read through the mess that is all the relationship advice questions that are on Reddit and give our thoughts, our honest thoughts and opinions on it and discuss it and see whether or not we think the relationship is fixable.
That sounds like a very fun podcast. I'm definitely going to check that out. For those of you who want to check us out on YouTube, you can go to youtube.com/@blackpeoplelovepAramore. The link will be in the show notes. If you have thoughts you'd like to share with me, you can email me at blackpeoplelovepAramore@gmail.com or at me across all social media platforms at @BPLBpod. You can support this show and get bonus content at maximumfun.org/join. Our editor is Jenriel Lagat and our producer is Palmyra Muniz. I'm your host, Sequoia Holmes, and this has been a production of Maximum Fun.